She felt as if she couldn't breathe until she had an answer. "Because I really would like to. Date you. No sex. No commitment. Let's just enjoy each other's company while I'm here. And, well, maybe a kiss or two." A shadow darted across Holly's features. Her brows slammed down as if something Leo had said dismayed her. "If you enjoy that sort of thing," Leo quickly added. "If you don't, that's fine too." Holly's tongue flicked out and licked her bottom lip.
"I do, but, Leo, we can enjoy each other's company the way we have, as friends."
Leo didn't look away.
"Then that's all you're feeling? Just friendly feelings for me?"
Holly's eyes said something else. She squeezed them shut as if she didn't want Leo to see.
"No, but..."
"Then kiss me. Right here, under the stars."
An unexpected smile flickered across Holly's face, easing the tension a little. She opened her eyes.
"Are you getting poetic, Miss Songstress?"
"You inspire me," Leo said, and it wasn't a line.
"Leontine?" Leo's mother called from the window. "Holly, where on earth are you?"
"Damn it."
Leo suppressed a groan. Her mother had the worst timing in the universe.
"Oh, shit,"
Holly whispered and huddled against her. Leo leaned even closer, allowing herself to enjoy the press of Holly's body against hers, and whispered back,
"Don't worry, she can't see us."
And she was right. After grumbling something they couldn't understand, Leo's mother closed the window.
"Oh no!"
Holly's eyes widened.
"Now we're trapped out here."
"No, I told you, I know a spot where we can slide down the roof and climb onto the porch."
"The same spot where you scraped your ass as a teenager?"
Holly asked.
"Oops."
She gave her a sheepish grin.
Yeah.
Holly sighed.
"Yippee-ki-yay. Okay, lead the way. We should get back to make sure your parents are okay."
"Ass scraping, here we come,"
Leo muttered, and let go of Holly's hands to crawl up the roof and down on the other side. But Holly stopped her with a quick touch to her shoulder.
"Leo?"
"Hmm?"
She turned back around. Holly took an audible breath. She shook her head as if giving up the search for words, and instead raised up on her knees. Leo didn't dare move or even breathe or blink, afraid to startle Holly away and lose this precious moment. Holly took her face between her hands and looked into her eyes from only inches away. She leaned forward until her warm breath fanned over Leo's mouth.
"Oh, God, please."
Then her silent prayer was answered. Holly's lips touched hers in a kiss that was almost chaste. No tongue, no wandering hands, nothing but their lips caressing each other. It was slow and soft, all tenderness and harmony. And it was the most perfect kiss Leo had ever experienced. Finally, she felt as if someone was kissing her. Just her. Not her Grammys, or her money, or her body that had been on display in music videos. Everything around her disappeared, except for Holly's soft mouth and her gentle hands, which cradled her face, rooting her in place. The kiss ended, but they lingered with their lips just a fraction of an inch apart. When they finally pulled back, they stared at each other. A smile spread over Holly's face, and Leo couldn't help mirroring it. She wanted to say so much, but it was as if that single kiss had taken away her ability to speak. All she could do was look into Holly's silvery blue eyes in the moonlight.
"There."
Holly exhaled and slowly took her hands off Leo's cheeks, sliding her fingers away until only her fingertips lingered, and then dropped away.
"I know that wasn't exactly..."
Leo dipped her head forward and touched her lips to Holly's again, just for a moment, to stop her from saying whatever she'd been about to say.
It was perfect. Her voice sounded raspy. Thank you. Holly's smile brightened even more, if that was possible. They knelt on the roof, facing each other, until Leo remembered that they had been about to climb down. She still felt the warmth of Holly's lips on hers as she guided her down the roof. Her limbs were a bit shaky.
Jesus, this isn't the time to go all weak-kneed.
She could imagine the headlines in the tabloids if she fell off and broke a bone or two. When she reached the edge of the roof, she turned.
Here's the trick. If you hold on to the gutter and swing inward a little, your feet will be on top of the porch rail. You won't even have to jump.
Holly swallowed audibly.
You do know that I'm a nurse, not a circus performer, don't you?
You're a magician, Leo wanted to say. She had kissed plenty of women in her life, most of them much more passionately, but somehow, Holly's brief, gentle kiss had managed to get to her in a way that the others hadn't. But she bit back the words. Since when was she the sappy type?
You'll be fine, I promise. It's not as hard as it sounds.
Okay,
Holly croaked out.
Don't worry, I'll go first and guide you down.
She turned so she was lying on the roof on her belly.
You won't scrape your ass if you do it this way.
Carefully, she slid down until her feet were braced against the gutter. Something scratched along her bare shin, making her flinch. She took a deep breath and let one leg dangle down. Now came the moment that she had to let go with her hands and slide down so she could grip the edge of the roof. Last time she'd done this, she had hesitated forever, but she didn't want Holly to think she was a coward, so she let go.
Leo!
She grabbed the gutter with both hands.
I've got it!
Slowly, she lowered herself down.
Oof.
Good thing her personal trainer had her do pull-ups. Her bare feet found the top of the porch railing, and she eased herself down until she could jump to the porch. There she stood, one shaking hand pressed to her chest for a moment.
I'm getting too old for this.
But being up on the roof with Holly had definitely been worth it.
Okay, I'm down, she called up to Holly. Now you.
Something scraped over the shingles. Leo held her breath. This was even more nerve-wracking than sliding down the roof herself.
Maybe I should go back up to my room and open the window for you.
But Holly's white sneakers were already appearing over the edge, followed by her bare legs. Leo gripped them tightly and guided her down. With a soft thud, Holly slid down, right into Leo's waiting arms. Leo's eyes fluttered shut. The scent of summer, vanilla and coconut shampoo, and something that was just Holly teased her nostrils.
God, she wanted to kiss her again so bad. No, don't spoil it. Wait until she tells you what she wants.
Holly cuddled against her for a second or two, then squeezed her hips once before letting go and stepping back.
Phew, okay, we're down.
She checked the baby monitor receiver in her back pocket.
Now how do we get back inside?
Easy. My mother keeps a spare key beneath one of the flower pots. At least, she did 14 years ago.
She lifted one of the pots and peered beneath. Nothing. Frowning, she tried another, and this time she found what she was looking for.
Ta-da!
She held it up triumphantly. Apparently, her parents still hadn't invested in a motion-sensitive porch light, but now it worked in their favor. No light flared on as they crossed the porch. As quietly as possible, Leo slid the key into the lock. Holly waited right behind her, one hand on Leo's hip. Her fingers radiated a warmth that wasn't merely physical. Just as Leo was about to turn the key, the door opened from the inside. Both of them stumbled back. Leo squinted into the sudden bright light and made out her mother's backlit shape in the doorframe.
Shit.
Heavens, Leontine! Holly! What are the two of you doing outside?
They looked at each other, then back at Leo's mom, and ducked their heads like two teenagers who'd been caught smoking weed.
Just catching a bit of fresh air before bed,
Leo stammered out. Her mother narrowed her eyes at them. Before she could ask another question, Leo beat her to it.
What are you doing up?
I heard some noise up on the roof and wanted to check it out. Now that your father... that he can no longer do it, I'm the weird noises checker in the family.
She lifted the flashlight in her hand with a brave smile.
I don't think you have to do that, Mom. It was probably just a squirrel or something.
A squirrel?
Her mother looked at her as if she doubted her sanity.
Oh, yeah,
Holly said.
They can make a lot of noise, especially if there's more than one.
Leo's mother still looked doubtful, but she turned and stepped back inside. When they had returned the key to the flower pot and followed her in, she closed the door and put the flashlight back onto the hall table.
Good night, you two. Don't stay up too long.
We won't,
Leo said.
Night.
As her mother climbed the stairs to the master bedroom, her quiet mutter drifted back to them.
That must have been an awfully big squirrel.
Leo pressed a hand to her mouth so she wouldn't burst out laughing. The bedroom door clicked shut upstairs.
Squirrel, huh?
The dimples in Holly's cheeks made an appearance as she gave her an affectionate smile. Leo shrugged.
It was the first thing that came to mind. Like I said, I never got caught before, so I'm not used to having to make up excuses.
Then maybe our second date should be someplace less adventurous,
Holly said.
So we're doing this?
Leo asked, searching her face.
Dating?
Holly's smile gave way to a serious expression.
If I think about it tomorrow morning in broad daylight, I'll probably think this...
She waved her hand back and forth between them.
...is a really bad idea.
Then let's not do it. Overthink it, I mean.
She tried to avoid it, too. For once, she would just go with her gut feeling.
Let's take it one day at a time.
Holly blew out a breath.
All right.
Leo offered her arm.
Come on, I'll walk you home.
She nodded in the direction of the guest room. Another smile chased away the conflicted expression on Holly's face. She lightly settled her hand on Leo's arm, and they climbed the stairs, both of them skipping the creaking steps. In front of Holly's bedroom, they paused and stood facing each other. With every other date, Leo would have ended the evening with a kiss, but Holly wasn't like every other woman, and even though Leo couldn't wait to kiss her again, she decided that was a good thing.
Good night. Sleep well.
Good night.
Holly put her hand on the doorknob, but then turned back around.
Thank you.
What for?
For showing me your secret spot.
Leo's first instinct was to say,
"Stick with me and I'll show you so much more."
But flashing her sexy pop star grin and hiding behind lines like that wasn't going to cut it with Holly.
I'm glad I did.
Me too.
Holly's hand lingered on Leo's arm for another moment. Then she opened the door and, with one last soft smile, was gone. Alone, Leo stood in the hall and stared at the closed door. After a while, she gave herself a mental kick and went to her own room. She sank onto the bed, but knew she wouldn't get any sleep tonight. Not after that kiss and their conversation. Was she really doing this? Dating an asexual woman? Hell, dating a woman from Fair Oaks, it was completely crazy. She scrubbed her palms over her face.
One day at a time. No overthinking, remember?
She dangled one hand out of bed and fished for her laptop, which she'd put on the floor earlier. Time for some more research into the complex topic of asexuality. Chapter 13. Holly entered the kitchen with some trepidation. Had she really kissed Leo last night and even agreed to date her?
What the hell were you thinking? You know this won't end well.
But try as she might, she couldn't regret it too much. That hour up on the roof had been magical. For once, she had been able to talk about the past without hurting or feeling inadequate. Leo had been so fierce when she had defended her, and so gentle when she'd kissed her. She hadn't spoiled it by trying for more. There had been no hint of demand, as if Leo had enjoyed the kiss for what it was, instead of seeing it as just an appetizer. Thinking about it made her want to kiss Leo again, and that had rarely happened to her in the past.
"Morning, Holly," Sharon said from the stove. "Something wrong with your mouth? Huh? You keep touching it."
Holly stared at her traitorous fingers, which were indeed resting on her lips. She snatched her hand away.
No, just some toothpaste.
God, she was as bad a liar as Leo with her squirrel excuse.
Speaking of Leo,
she looked around.
She had gotten Gil dressed earlier, and now he was waiting for breakfast at the table, but Leo was nowhere to be seen.
"Where's Leo?"
she asked before she could stop herself.
Sharon turned off the stove with a flick of her wrist and carried the stack of pancakes to the table. They both sat.
"She's still sleeping.
Want me to go up and wake her?"
At least it would give them a moment alone, even though Holly wasn't sure what she would say to Leo.
"Oh, no, let her sleep. I'll make her some fresh pancakes later. When I peeked in on her a few minutes ago, she was dead to the world."
Sharon poured them all coffee and slid Holly's mug across the table toward her.
"That squirrel on the roof probably kept her up all night."
The first sip of coffee went down the wrong pipe. Holly started coughing and gasping for breath. Gil put his fork down and thumped her on the back with his good hand.
"Okay?"
"Yeah,"
Holly rasped out.
"I'm fine, thanks."
He patted her back again, just for good measure, before returning to his food. Holly inhaled and exhaled deeply and took a more careful sip of coffee, hoping no one would mention squirrels again. By the time breakfast was done and they had cleared the table, Leo still hadn't made an appearance downstairs. Holly didn't know if she should be disappointed or grateful. Maybe it was better this way. She needed time to think, time away from Leo and the house. Thankfully, she had the rest of the day off, so she said goodbye to Gil and Sharon and headed out. But instead of driving home, she ended up in front of her mother's practice for her daily cuddle fix. That, of course, made her think of cuddling up to Leo behind the chimney last night. Just as she had settled down next to the whelping box, covered from hip to toe in puppies and kittens, the door opened and her mother stepped in.
"Hey, sweetie."
She pressed a kiss to Holly's head and picked up one of the puppies.
"Susan just told me you came in. What are you doing here? I thought you had the night shift."
"I did."
"Then why aren't you home in bed?"
Holly rubbed her cheek against the orange tabby's soft fur.
"Gil had a good night. I only had to get up twice, so I was able to get some sleep."
Or she would have if she hadn't lain awake, reliving that wonderful kiss and each word they had exchanged up on the roof, and worrying about where it might lead, and where it wouldn't. Just because Leo was willing to go without sex for the time being didn't mean she was in it for the long haul. Quite the opposite. She had never made a secret of the fact that she planned to go back to New York. That was why she could so easily agree to dating without sex. It was easy to go without for a while, since Leo knew she would soon return to her more-than-willing groupies. Clearly there was no happy ending in store for them, and she would only end up getting hurt if she let herself believe otherwise. Her mother watched her with a concerned gaze.
"You know, you could get one for yourself."
Holly blinked up at her.
"A happy ending?"
"Excuse me?"
Heat rose up her neck, and she buried her face deeper into the kitten's fur, hoping to hide her blush.
"Oh, nothing. I was just thinking of, fairy tales."
Laugh lines fanned around her mother's eyes and mouth.
"I was talking about a kitten or a puppy, although I'm all for you getting a happy ending, too."
Holly shook her head.
"I'm gone much of the time, so I don't think that would be fair to the little guy."
"Or girl,"
her mother added, repeating what Holly had always said when her mother urged her to date. They smiled at each other.
"Or girl,"
she repeated, suppressing a sigh. Wasn't it ironic? Now that her mother had finally accepted that her daughter might end up with a woman, Holly had realized that it wasn't going to happen, at least not long term. And certainly not with Leo. 2 days later, Leo set out on a mission. She wanted to take Holly out on a date,
But if she took her to a restaurant, they would be interrupted by people asking for autographs. Plus, they wouldn't even make it to the main course before the entire town knew about their date. By now, the Fair Oaks rumor mill was probably already buzzing because they had gotten burgers together last week. Not that she was ashamed of going out with Holly, but for now, she wanted it to be just the two of them. A picnic at the creek seemed perfect for that. After putting everything she needed into the shopping cart, she steered it around the corner toward the cash register. She had hoped that Jenny wouldn't be working, but no such luck. Her old classmate was manning the register. She waved cheerfully.
Hi, Leo!
Hi, Jenny.
Leo focused on unloading her groceries, hoping to escape small talk.
We missed you the last two Saturdays, Jenny said. You really should hang out with the gang again.
Yeah, I was busy spending time with Holly.
I totally get it. When my mom got sick, I barely had time to go out, too. How are your folks doing?
Fine, considering, Leo said.
Your dad seemed to be doing a little better when I dropped by for a visit last week.
Leo looked up. Jenny had visited him lately?
It must have been while Leo had been out on a run or getting scones with Holly. Oh, scones.
She made a mental note to get some for the picnic, too.
I bet he's glad you're home, Jenny said.
Leo gave a noncommittal hum. Jenny reached for the first item, searched for the barcode, and scanned it painfully slowly.
Great.
Leo resisted the urge to tap her foot. By the time Jenny had scanned all the goods, there would be mold growing on them.
Are you getting settled back in at home?
Jenny asked as she reached for item number two, a bottle of red wine.
There's not much settling in to do. I'm only staying for a few weeks, remember?
Jenny scanned the wine, nodded down at the rest of the groceries, and chuckled.
Well, this should hold you until then.
Leo regarded her pile of food. Admittedly, it could feed an entire army, not just two people. Maybe she had overdone it a little, but she had wanted to make sure she bought everything Holly might like.
It's, for a picnic.
Oh, that's such a nice idea!
Jenny clapped her hands.
The weather is perfect for it, too.
Leo hoped Holly would think so, too.
You forgot the cheese, though, Jenny said.
Excuse me?
Jenny waved at the bag of grapes she was scanning.
You've got grapes, but no cheese. They go well together.
Damn, she was right. Can I run back and get some?
Sure, I'll scan the rest in the meantime.
Leaving the shopping cart behind, Leo turned on her heel and jogged toward the aisle with the dairy products.
Get the smoked Gouda!
Jenny's voice trailed after her.
Holly likes that one!
Leo slid to a stop in front of the dairy case. Had Jenny just said? She found the smoked Gouda, grabbed a camembert and some tiny mozzarella balls, too, just in case, and slowly made her way back to the register.
Who says I'm sharing this with Holly?
Well,
Jenny shrugged.
You two are the only, lesbians in town, so...
Yeah, if you don't count Ash, and maybe a few others who are too scared to come out.
And you did buy the smoked Gouda,
Jenny finished with a smile that said she was impressed with her own detective skills.
Are the two of you, you know, dating?
What was she supposed to say now? Leo had always tried to keep her private life out of the public eye. She certainly wasn't about to reveal her brand new dating relationship to the town gossip queen. She and Holly hadn't talked about telling people. Hell, it was all so new and fragile that they could barely cope with it when it was just the two of them. But after what Ash had done to Holly, Leo didn't want to outright deny being involved with her either. Holly deserved better than that.
That's between Holly and me, she finally said.
Jenny squealed.
I'm so happy for you guys!
Leo blinked.
Hey, I didn't say we're dating, and I certainly didn't say we're ready to print wedding invitations, so cut out that happy dance.
She looked around to see if they were attracting attention, but for now, they seemed to be alone in the store.
Ah, come on, Leo, you know you can tell me. I'm not the enemy here.
That much was true. Jenny had always seemed like the quintessential small-town girl to her. The horizon of her experience ended at the city limits. But she didn't seem upset at the thought of Holly and her dating. In fact, she seemed pleased,
and Leo hadn't expected that.
She rubbed her neck. I know. Don't take it personally, but if you're in the limelight all the time, you learn to keep your private life private.
Don't worry.
Jenny waved a package of cookies.
I won't say a word. I'm just glad Holly has finally found someone.
Leo swallowed against the sudden lump in her throat. Not knowing what to say, she just watched as Jenny scanned the rest of her items. For once, she was glad when another customer came up behind her and asked for an autograph and a picture. When he was busy checking out the photo Jenny had snapped on his cell phone, she quickly put her bagged groceries into the cart and pushed them to the door.
Enjoy your picnic!
Jenny called after her.
Thanks.
Leo stumbled to her rental car and shook her head to clear it. What a surreal experience. She felt as if she'd stepped into the Twilight Zone. Maybe Holly had been right. Maybe people in this town could change, at least some of them. Too bad her father wasn't among them. Leo found her parents in the living room, where her mother was helping her father put together a puzzle. It looked as if it was going to be a violin with a rose resting across the strings. Every time she saw her father like this, helpless and wheelchair-bound, she had to look away. Rough emotions clutched at her insides, but she didn't want to focus on them long enough to identify what exactly she was feeling.
Mom, do you mind if I take over your kitchen for a while?
Her mother looked up with wide eyes.
You want to cook?
Hey, I made breakfast several times since I've been back. I'm not that bad of a cook. Besides, I just want to prepare some, snacks.
Of course. Go ahead and let me know if you need any help.
I can manage, thanks.
At least she hoped so. Her area of expertise was the concert stage, not the kitchen, but she was determined to give it her best. An hour later, as Leo was putting a lid on the bowl of potato salad, her mother peeked into the kitchen, looking as if she expected to find a battlefield. But Leo had cleaned up as she went, not wanting to create even more work for her already stressed mother.
Oh, well, that looks wonderful.
Her mother entered the kitchen and watched Leo pierce mozzarella balls and cherry tomatoes onto skewers.
Is this, for you and Holly?
Wow. Leo put the skewers aside and turned. Was the Fair Oaks rumor mill working so quickly, or had her mother suspected all along? Or maybe she thought it was just a picnic between friends. Her mother's powers of denial had always been impressive. If she didn't want to deal with something, she ignored it so completely that it ceased to exist.
Yes, Leo said carefully.
That's nice,
her mother said, just as carefully. This was one thing that definitely hadn't changed. They were still tiptoeing around each other and the topic of Leo's sexual orientation. She heaved a sigh. Her mother cleared her throat, but then didn't say anything. Instead, she turned toward the counter, away from Leo, took a cherry tomato and slid it onto another skewer, followed by a mozzarella ball. So the conversation was over, and the topic would be ignored. Again. Leo wasn't sure if she should be relieved or angry. She popped a tomato into her mouth and chewed forcefully.
You don't need to help, you know.
I don't mind. We barely spend any time together, so this...
Her mother waved her hand in a circle that included Leo, herself, and the kitchen.
Is nice.
It was true, Leo had to admit, if only to herself. Since she'd been back, she had spent more time with Holly than with her parents. Maybe she should make more of an effort to patch up her relationship with them, but being with Holly was so much easier. Despite their differences, they seemed to understand each other in a way that she could never hope to achieve with her parents. Her mother put the finished skewer into the container with the ones Leo had already done. She studied them as if they held the answers to all the secrets of the universe, or at least the winning lottery numbers.
So, Holly and you...
She peeked at Leo, then back at the skewers.
Are you friends, or...
We're dating,
Leo said. Her mother turned and leaned against the counter as if she needed the support. Leo braced herself for what was to come.
She's a wonderful girl, you know.
She's a woman, Mom. We both are. We're not teenagers, and this is not a phase that we'll grow out of.
I know. I've known it for a while now, and I'm okay with it.
Her mother glanced at the floor.
Not overjoyed, mind you, but okay. Holly really is a wonderful woman.
Now it was Leo's turn to lean against the counter for support, as her knees seemed to transform into overcooked spaghetti. She opened her mouth, but it took a while before she could make her vocal cords work.
You're okay with it? With me being gay?
Her mother nodded.
Having Holly around, getting to know her, really helped. Her entire family is very supportive of her. I think Holly telling everyone about her, that she's gay, it brought them even closer, and it occurred to me that's how it should have been with us, too.
Why didn't you say anything?
When?
Her mother looked at her with damp eyes.
When was I supposed to say anything? I mean, you called so seldom that I didn't want to take the chance of making you stop altogether by bringing it up.
Leo folded her arms across her churning stomach. Her mother had worked through her issues, and she had missed it. Would have kept missing it, if not for her father's stroke.
What about Dad? Is he okay with it, too?
Why don't you ask him yourself?
Her mother said. She shook her head.
You know I could never talk to him. Certainly not now. The few times he tried to talk to me, he either insulted me or I didn't understand a word.
Maybe you need to try harder.
Now they were back on familiar territory. That gentle reproach in her mother's voice was something she had heard a lot in the past.
I tried, Mom, you know that. I tried so hard to live up to his expectations.
She flicked a bit of lettuce from the sandwiches into the sink.
I spent my entire childhood doing nothing else, but whatever I did, it was never good enough. I was never good enough. I'm done trying.
Leontine.
Her mother stepped closer and reached for her hand. Leo pulled away.
No, Mom. Thank you for accepting me. It means a lot. But I can't let him run my life. I need to be my own person, not a carbon copy of him.
Her mother smiled, but it was full of sadness, not joy.
Then maybe you should stop being just as stubborn as he is.
Without another word, she walked out of the kitchen. Leo stared after her.
Damn.
Her mother had changed, too. In the past, she had never talked to her like this. She had been the peacekeeper of the family, gently mediating between Leo and her father, but never voicing an opinion or, God forbid, criticizing her husband in any way. Now she had done both, and Leo had no idea what to do with it. The Velcro made a ripping sound as Holly removed the blood pressure cuff from Gil's arm. She smoothed down the sleeve of his T-shirt before jotting down the numbers.
Your blood pressure's a little high today.
He craned his neck to see the numbers.
Die?
He asked with a twinkle in his eyes. She smiled. At times like this, when his sense of humor shone through, he reminded her of Leo.
No, you're not gonna die. It's not dangerously high, just something to keep an eye on. You probably just had too much excitement.
He snorted and waved his good hand toward the stereo and the view from the window, which were his main entertainment. She'd been talking about the fact that Leo was back home, but he seemed as determined to ignore the elephant in the room as his daughter was.
I'll call the doctor and we'll have him come in and take a look at you tomorrow, okay? Maybe your meds need to be adjusted.
She put the blood pressure cuff back into its case.
How about a nap now?
When he nodded, she helped him transfer from his wheelchair to the bed. It was too warm for the covers, so she tugged a thin sheet over him, more for comfort than warmth.
Sleep tight. I'll see you tomorrow with the doc, and pictures of the puppies and kittens.
Her shift was over,
so by the time he woke, she would be long gone. When she reached the door, he said,
"Hall. Holly."
She blinked and turned around. He rarely used names. For some reason, they seemed harder to access for him than other words. Apparently, the promised photos of the puppies and kittens had motivated him to try harder. Yes?
Please, no.
He shook his head in frustration.
Thanks.
She smiled at him from across the room. That wasn't a word he used often either.
You're very welcome. See you tomorrow.
She left the room and went in search of Sharon to hand over the baby monitor receiver and give her a short report. Noises came from the kitchen, so she headed that way. But instead of Sharon, it was Leo who was slicing a mango and some strawberries. Holly paused in the doorway and watched her for a minute. Leo walked back and forth between the counter and the sink to wash more fruit. Each step looked as if she were dancing. Holly had never cared much for Leo's overly provocative music videos, but this she could watch forever. Sunlight streaming in through the kitchen window made Leo's honey-blonde hair shine like gold. It was tied back into a loose ponytail so it wouldn't get in the way while she worked. Her long fingers, which had flowed over the piano keys so gracefully, handled the knife in a slightly awkward way that told Holly she didn't spend much time in the kitchen. Well, she had mentioned a nutritionist, so maybe she had a personal chef, too. Holly struggled against the impulse to join her in the kitchen, guide her hands, and show her how it was done. Stop it. What she needed to do was tell Leo she had thought about it all day yesterday and had reconsidered. Their lives were too different, so they were unlikely to find happiness together. Not that Leo was looking for long-term happiness with her. It was better to end it now, before Holly got any more involved. Leo turned, and their gazes met immediately. An almost shy smile spread over Leo's face and crinkled the edges of her olive-green eyes, so unlike the fake, sexy grin she flashed on TV. Holly's heart gave a little stutter.
Hey.
Leo ran both palms down her jean shorts, then combed her fingers through her disheveled hair.
Is your shift over?
Yes, as soon as I find your mom for a handover. If you have a minute afterward.
Holly forced herself to continue, speaking through the lump in her throat.
I'd like to talk to you.
Of course. I'd love to spend some time with you. In fact, I got a little surprise for you.
A hint of a flush covered Leo's cheeks as she pointed to a large basket full of Tupperware containers.
I thought we could have a picnic.
You prepared a picnic?
Yes, I thought it might be nicer than taking you to a restaurant. More privacy. Not that we need privacy for anything, of course, but it's nicer to talk at the creek and all.
Aw.
She was cute when she got all flustered and started to ramble. Holly couldn't stop the tiny smile tugging at her lips.
All I need to do is finish the fruit salad and we can go. So, what do you say? Are you in the mood? For a picnic, I mean.
Leo's blush deepened, and she looked at Holly like one of the puppies hoping for a treat. God, how could she tell her it was not a good idea now, after Leo had gone to all this trouble and was looking at her with this hopeful expression? She couldn't resist that look from one of the puppies, and she certainly couldn't say no when Leo wore it either. Well, she could have that conversation with her during the picnic. Leo was right, after all. There was more privacy at the creek.
All right, she finally said. You put the finishing touches on the fruit salad, and I'll go find your mom.
They strolled along the path in silence. Leo shifted the handle of the picnic basket to the bend of her other arm, freeing the one closest to Holly, and took her hand. The move startled Holly, and she couldn't hide a tiny flinch. Leo immediately let go.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to...
No, it's okay, really. It just surprised me for a moment.
Holly reached for her hand and held it firmly, not letting her pull away again, even as she scolded herself for it. Conflicting desires wrestled each other for several seconds. Then she bargained with herself. She would allow herself to enjoy these last few moments with Leo, but once they reached their spot at the creek...
Are you sure?
Leo asked. I like holding hands. She entwined their fingers. The rasp of the calluses on Leo's fingertips against her knuckles tickled a little, making her smile.
I'm just not used to it. I've never held anyone's hand, at least not here in Fair Oaks. Ash didn't want to draw attention.
Leo let out a low growl.
You know, the longer I'm back, the more I start to wonder what I ever saw in her.
The protective fire in Leo's eyes made her feel good.
She has her good sides, too. She's intelligent and independent and has a great sense of humor.
True, but the same could be said about you. And so much more.
Leo squeezed her fingers.
So, what else do you like? Besides holding hands, I mean.
Holly peeked over and met Leo's gaze.
I like hugs.
She hummed a little at the thought of embracing Leo, burying her face against her shoulder and breathing in her scent. Another voice in her head screamed at her,
Stop talking like this! You wanted to break things off, remember, not give her pointers.
But Leo's hand felt good in hers, so she allowed herself a moment of fantasizing.
I also like back rubs and cuddling and soft caresses.
Golden sparks seemed to light up Leo's irises.
I like that too. What about kissing? What we did up on the roof. You liked that, right?
Kissing is fine.
She allowed herself to fantasize about kissing Leo for a moment or two and felt her cheeks grow hot.
Actually, it's more than fine.
While it might have been a sexual act for some people, she enjoyed it on an entirely sensual level, at least most of the time. Leo stopped in the middle of the path and studied her.
But?
Holly sighed.
Sometimes it's hard for me to enjoy it.
Why?
With the right partner, I could kiss for hours, but I know it doesn't work like that for allosexual people.
Allosexual?
Holly looked left and right, making sure they were still alone in the park.
Someone like you. Someone who isn't asexual. You're used to kissing leading to something, well, more. And I can't fully relax into it if I know any kind of affection will inevitably lead to sex.
It won't,
Leo said. If only it were that simple. It was tempting, so very tempting to let herself believe it, but Holly knew better. They started walking again. Before she could find the courage to break things off, the bench in the middle of the park came into view. Someone was sitting on it.
Hi, Mr. Gillespie,
Holly said to the old man enjoying the sun.
Nice day, isn't it?
Mr. Gillespie didn't answer, too occupied staring at their entwined fingers. Leo didn't let go, clearly not ashamed to be seen with her.
Downright beautiful,
she added with a hint of defiance. Finally, Mr. Gillespie inclined his head in a grudging nod.
Yeah, it kinda is.
They walked on until they came to their spot at the edge of the park, out of sight of Mr. Gillespie. While Leo spread a blanket over the flat rock next to the creek, Holly stood frozen at the realization that they already had a place they considered their spot. Leo tugged Holly down next to her in the middle of the blanket and began to unpack and open containers. Soon they were surrounded by tomato mozzarella skewers, grapes, different cheeses, olives, potato salad, fruit salad, French bread, BLT sandwiches, scones, and cookies.
I think I have everything the heart desires.
Leo presented her bounty with a proud sweep of her hand.
What would you like?
That was a loaded question. Her heart desired more than what was offered on this blanket.
Do it. Do it now.
Leo.
Look, I even have LGBTA sandwiches.
Leo held out one of the BLT sandwiches. For a moment, Holly let herself be distracted from the inevitable.
You mean BLT sandwiches, right?
Nope. This is an LGBTA sandwich. It's got lettuce, garlic mayo, bacon,
tomato, and avocado slices. I wanted to make it an LGBTQIA sandwich, but I couldn't find any ingredients starting with Q or I.
Leo shrugged.
But at least it's got the A, so it's an asexual inclusive sandwich.
Holly took the sandwich, but the giant lump in her throat prevented her from taking a bite. Why the heck did Leo have to be so adorable right now? She already felt like an ass for changing her mind about them.
Leo's cell phone started to ring. Should she be angry or relieved at the interruption, which gave her a few more minutes before she had to break it off? Holly wasn't sure.
Leo pulled the cell phone from the back pocket of her jean shorts and glanced at the display. A scowl appeared on her face.
It's my manager, again. He thinks I'll come back sooner if he keeps nagging me every day.
Go ahead, take the call.
But Leo rejected the call and put the cell phone away. No, it's not important. I'll call him back later.
If circumstances had been different, if the two of them had been different, Leo might have been the perfect woman for her.
So, where were we?
Leo held up a bottle of wine.
I hope you like red.
Holly pinched the bridge of her nose between her thumb and index finger. She couldn't wait any longer, or she might lose her nerve.
I think we should talk.
A wrinkle appeared between Leo's brows. She put the bottle of wine down.
What's wrong?
I don't think this is going to work.
Leo swept her gaze over the blanket. The wrinkle on her forehead deepened.
I'm not talking about the picnic, Holly said. I'm talking about us. I'm sorry, Leo. I know I agreed to date you, but I've thought about it, and I don't think it would work.
Leo looked as if Holly had thrown the sandwich in her face. The joy had gone out of her eyes like a light being turned off.
Why? I thought you liked me, liked spending time with me.
Her expression was stony, but the tiny tremor in her voice really got to Holly.
I do. I really do, but that's the problem. If I'm not careful, I could easily develop feelings for you.
Admitting it made her feel like a knight who had taken off all armor and dropped her shield in the middle of battle.
But in a week or two, you'll be gone. Back to New York or some other big city.
Leo didn't say anything for quite some time. She stared out over the creek.
You could come with me,
she said after a while, her voice very quiet and a bit scratchy. Holly swallowed. She hadn't expected that. Then she shook her head. It wasn't a realistic offer.
I don't think I'm made for the big city. Even if I were, we're not at that point in our relationship yet.
How are we supposed to ever get there if you break it off now?
Leo massaged her forehead.
Listen, I don't have all of the answers. All I know is that I really like you, and I want to spend more time with you. Where does that leave us?
I don't know. There's just so much working against us. Even without the long-distance thing, relationships between allosexuals and asexual people rarely work out.
Some do. I came across people in one of the forums who say they're very happy together.
Yeah, it can happen. But these couples are in a very different position than we are. They don't live in different cities and different worlds. Those couples are fully committed to making it work.
She forced herself to look Leo in the eyes.
You don't honestly expect me to believe that you are too after just one kiss, do you?
Leo stared at her, then glanced away. Holly hadn't expected her to say yes. She wouldn't have believed her if she had.
Well, technically it was two kisses,
Leo mumbled.
You really think that makes much of a difference in our situation? You know, sometimes...
Holly squeezed her eyes shut, but then opened them again and forced herself to face the truth, no matter how much it hurt.
Sometimes I can't help thinking that maybe the reason you're so eager to spend time with me is to avoid having to deal with your father.
Leo plopped onto her ass from her kneeling position as if Holly had slapped her.
Jesus, Holly, is that really what you think?
She looked so hurt that an urge to pull her into her arms and hold her overcame Holly. She fought it.
I'm not sure what to think anymore. I've never met anyone like you. You're so understanding, so willing to embrace my asexuality.
I wasn't aware that's a bad thing, Leo said.
It's not, but maybe it's just my own insecurities talking, but a part of me can't help wondering if you're welcoming my asexuality, because if there's no sex, it won't be a real relationship, so it will be easier to walk away from me, from us, when the time comes.
Leo grabbed the nearest object, the bottle of red, and hurled it away. Instead of shattering on the rocks, it splashed into the water and disappeared from view.
Just because I'm not asexual doesn't mean sex is what makes a relationship real for me. I've had sex with people without it meaning anything. Why wouldn't the opposite be possible?
It is for me, but...
Leo jumped up.
You know what? Maybe you're right. It wouldn't work. Enjoy the picnic. I need a fucking drink, and the only alcohol I brought is in the creek.
She stormed away before Holly could answer. Chapter 14 Leo stomped past Mr. Gillespie, who still sat on the bench. Her earlier comment to him about what a beautiful day it was now seemed like a cruel joke. She thought about just going home, but she wasn't in the mood to face her mother's inevitable questions, so she continued on to the bar and grill. She hadn't even reached it when her phone rang. It was Saul again.
Not now, she said without a greeting. This is getting ridiculous, Jenna.
No, what was ridiculous was him insisting on calling her by her stage name.
I said not now. It's been nearly 4 weeks. 4 weeks!
So what? I haven't taken one goddamn vacation in a dozen years.
So what?
Saul repeated, his voice an incredulous squeak.
The record execs are getting impatient. Your fans probably think you're in rehab. It's only a matter of time until the paparazzi find you in your little hideaway town, and the producers of A Star Is Born will pick another judge if you don't sign the contract soon.
Leo paused in front of the bar's door, and the memory of how she had run into Holly the last time she had stood there washed over her.
I don't care about the execs, or the paparazzi, or that contract, she said slowly, emphasizing every word. I need this time away. I need it, Saul.
He took an audible breath.
1 more week. That's all I can give you. I need you in Manhattan next Friday to meet with the guys from Clio Records.
How weird. She hadn't wanted to stay in Fair Oaks for more than a few days, but now the thought of going back was just as unappealing. But what reason did she have to stay? Holly had just dumped her, and her parents would be fine without her. She would make sure they had everything she needed before she left.
All right, email me the plane ticket and I'll be there.
Without waiting for a reply, she ended the call, pushed the door open, and marched up to the bar. Two middle-aged men who looked familiar sat at the end of the bar, but she ignored them as she climbed onto one of the stools. Chris put the glass he'd been polishing away and came over to her.
Oh, great.
Of all the people tending bar at Johnny's, it had to be the man who had a crush on Holly. He didn't look any more pleased to see her than she was to see him.
What can I get you?
He asked, without even a hint of a welcoming smile or an attempt at small talk. All the better. She wasn't in the mood to talk to anyone. What did one order after getting dumped on a first real date? She'd never been in this situation before. Heck, she barely even dated. She was too busy with her career and too disillusioned with love to waste much time on it. With Holly, it hadn't felt like a waste of time.
Forget her. I'll take a shot at Johnny Walker.
It was the first thing that came to mind. After all, she was in a bar called Johnny's. Chris turned and reached for one of the liquor bottles lined up like soldiers behind the bar. When he placed the drink in front of her, she took it and drained the glass in one big gulp. A trail of fire burned all the way from the back of her throat to the pit of her stomach, adding to the acid that already pooled there. She gasped and grimaced. A hard-drinking pop star she wasn't.
Bah!
She smacked her lips and shook herself. The stuff tasted awful. Chris nodded down at the empty glass, his expression not any warmer than before.
Want another?
She hesitated. Come on, you know this is stupid. It wouldn't help. All it would do was prove that Holly was right about her avoiding dealing with her problems.
No thanks, but how about a boulevard wheat and a sandwich or something?
She hadn't eaten since this morning, and drinking on an empty stomach was not a good idea. He nodded.
Coming right up.
Someone tapped her on the shoulder. Leo swiveled around on her bar stool, prepared for someone who wanted an autograph. Instead, Ethan, the younger of Holly's brothers, stood before her. He climbed onto the stool next to hers without waiting for an invitation.
Hey, Leo. I saw you head in from across the street and thought I'd say hi.
Hi, she murmured. Couldn't she even get drunk in peace? Now she had to look at him, and damn if his eyes weren't the same clear blue as Holly's. Chris set down the beer in front of Leo.
You want one too?
He asked Ethan.
Sure.
He grinned, which dimpled his cheeks in a way that made him resemble his sister even more.
You know what they say about drinking alone, slippery slope and all that. Can't let a friend do that.
It didn't take long for Chris to return with Ethan's beer and a BLT for Leo. Of all the sandwiches on the menu, he had to bring her this one. She wondered what had happened to the picnic sandwiches. Was Holly still at the creek, enjoying them alone? No. She knew Holly better than that. No way could she enjoy the picnic after their argument. The thought of Holly sitting there, alone and sad, made her lose her appetite. She pushed the sandwich over to Ethan.
Here, take it if you want. I'm not hungry after all.
Really? Yum.
Ethan didn't have to be asked twice. He grabbed the sandwich, took a big bite, and chewed.
So,
he said as he paused for a swig of beer.
You're dating my sister now.
If she hadn't handed over her sandwich, she might have choked on it. She glared at Ethan, then at Chris, who was suddenly all ears, pretending to wipe down the bar in front of them so he could listen in.
Did she tell you that?
Leo asked. Ethan grinned.
Oh, no. Holly's pretty secretive when it comes to things like that. But she didn't have to. It's a small town.
A small town with a big mouth,
Leo grumbled. His grin turned into a frown.
You don't want people to know?
It's not that. It's just complicated. We're no longer dating.
For the first time since she had stepped into the bar, Chris smiled. Leo huffed.
Don't think you stand a chance now, buddy, just because I'm out of the running.
Ethan thumped his beer back onto the bar top.
You dumped her? Was it because of her? Because she didn't want to?
He stopped himself and glared at Chris, who was still hovering nearby.
Hey, man, why don't you go restock the bottles over there or something?
He waved toward the other end of the bar. Chris took his rag and trudged off.
No,
Leo said, a little too loudly. She lowered her voice and repeated,
No, it wasn't because of that.
Why, then? My sister's a great catch. I admit, I wouldn't necessarily want to be in a relationship with someone who, well, you know. But Holly is really...
Jesus, would you just stop it? I didn't dump her. She dumped me. And even if I had, it wouldn't be because of that, okay? Why does everyone keep making such a big deal of it?
He blinked.
It's not for you?
I don't know. I haven't even had time to find out before she dumped me.
She gulped down half her beer.
And that's the last I want to say on this topic. I'd rather not talk about it, especially with one of her brothers.
Fine with me,
Ethan said.
It's not that I'm keen on this type of conversation. Normally, Zack is the one who's responsible for the if-you-hurt-my-sister-I'll-break-your-legs talks.
Leo hadn't wanted to talk about Holly anymore, but now she couldn't help being curious.
I can't imagine he had to have that kind of talk very often, did he?
Holly seemed like the type of woman who could take care of herself, and as far as Leo knew, she had only ever had three relationships in her life, one of which no one knew about.
Just once, I think. When she came home for spring break her senior year of nursing school, she brought a girlfriend with her.
He wrinkled his nose.
Dana.
I take it you didn't like her?
Leo stole a fry from his plate.
We really tried to give her a chance. Well, Zack and me, mostly.
Ethan took another bite of sandwich.
Mom and Dad were still hung up on the fact that she was with a woman. The way she treated Holly didn't help.
A swift wave of protectiveness surged through her.
What did she do?